Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning. I'm so glad that you're here as we continue this green and growing season after Pentecost. As we continue into the summer months, it is good for us to come together, to see one another, and spend time together with our gracious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that you're here. Whether you're with us in church or you're with us online, it is good for us to be together. I don't have a lot of announcements. There are announcements in the bulletin, and I hope that you read through them and discover all of the ways that you can connect with our ministry. But I do have one important one that I wish to share. It has pleased Almighty and Everlasting God to welcome to His eternal home our brother in Christ, Robert McFarland. Bob, a beloved child of God, leaves behind his wife, Dora, as well as their extended family, friends, colleagues, students he drove bus for, and many others who loved him. Services celebrating the life and the gifts that God shared through Robert were held at the Cromus Edwards Funeral Home this past Thursday. Let us pray. Eternal God, you gave Robert a new birth in baptism and entrusted him to us for a time that seems too short. As we thank you for the life we shared, help us now to release Robert to your mighty keeping. Bring us all to that day when we shall stand in your presence with all your saints in light eternal, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. We've gathered this morning so that we might be in worship, but before we start the worship, just a brief little thing. The praise team changed the next song because there's a special thing they want to tell you. All right. They changed it to My God Is Still the Same because that was originally recorded and performed by Sanctus Real. All right. And Sanctus Real is coming to the Shelby County Fair this coming Saturday at the Free Music Pavilion, right? I told them last night, but I said, you heard it from me, but you didn't hear it from me, because this concert starts 6 o'clock next Saturday, and that's also when church starts next Saturday. But no, they want you to know that, so if you would like to go and hear Sanctus Real sing it, or compare, or contrast, it's just a wonderful thing. They chose the song, our opening, our gathering song for this morning's worship, originally recorded by Sanctus Real, is My God Is Still the Same. Let us rise and sing together.
Just as the waves, they are stilled at the mention of His name, they'll say, My God is still the same. As the walls, they still fail at the mighty sound of praise, they'll say, My God is still the same.
When did He break His promise? When did His kindness fail? Never has, never will. My God is still the same. When did He lose His power?
My God is still the same. As the grave, if it's strong enough to keep open its chains, it'll say God's still the same.
Yeah. When did He break His promise? When did His kindness fail? Never has, never will. My God is still the same. Did He ever let go? Not once did He ever stop proving our God is in control. Not once did He ever stop moving. Not once did He ever let go. Not once did He ever stop proving our God is in control. When did He break His promise? When did His kindness fail? did he ever stop moving. Not once did he ever let go. Not once did he ever stop proving our God is in control. Not once did he ever stop moving. Not once did he ever let go. Never has, never will, our God is still the same. My God is still the same. My God is still the same.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Faithful God, most merciful Judge, you care for your children with firmness and compassion. By your Spirit, nurture us who live in your kingdom, that we may be rooted in the way of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Our first lesson is from the 44th chapter of Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let them proclaim it. Let them declare and set it forth before me. Who has announced from old the things to come? Let them tell us what is yet to be. Do not fear, or be afraid. Have I not told you from old, and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? There is no other rock. I know not one. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second lesson is from the 8th chapter of Romans. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If, in fact, we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, not only the creation, but we ourselves, who are the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew in the 13th chapter. Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, An enemy has done this. The slaves said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Then Jesus left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. Jesus answered, The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, while there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen. The Gospel of our Lord. The congregation may be seated. I would love to invite the children to come on forward.
Morning. Well, good morning. I'm very happy you guys are here. Come on down.
There we are.
Yep, that's it. Okay.
Perfect. All right, I'm going to teach you guys something, all right? I'm going to say, God is good. And I want you guys to say, all the time. Can we practice that? If I say, God is good, all the time. There we are. Okay. And then I'm going to respond with, and all the time, and I want you to say, God is good. All right. So, and all the time, there we are. So we're going to put it all together. So I say, God is good, and all the time, that's true. God is good all the time. We just heard a parable of Jesus where Jesus is telling us that God is good whether we're behaving like weeds or we're behaving like wheat. Because if we're behaving like weeds, you know, growing on being all wild and choking out everything else and all the rest of that, God is still good, even to the likes of us who are weedy, because God is still there with forgiveness, and God loves us so much that he doesn't want us to stay weeds. And God is also good when we're behaving like wheat, when we're growing big and strong and we're sharing all of God's goodness, because God uses us then to forgive others. God uses us then to help others. God is good all the time. And so today we remember that. We remember that God is good and all the time. All right, that's the truth. I think they know that, and we'll see if they'll do it with us. All right, so if we say, God is good and all the time, that's the truth we hear today. That's the truth you can hold on to. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you that you are good all the time. Help us when we are weeds. Help us when we are wheat. And send us into your world so that we may grow and share and shine with your light. We thank you for this day, Lord. Amen. Thank you for being here, everybody. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It was the early to mid-1970s, and Mary was a single mother. Her husband and the father of her two sons had ditched them. It was way too much for him to be a father, and it was way more responsibility than he had ever wanted, so he left. He dumped all of them. And even if the divorce decree had spoke about child support and alimony, he never did a bit of it. Now, before she was married, Mary came to my home congregation. So she came back. She knew that she needed God back in her life. She knew that she needed the support that she was hoping to find at the church. She knew she needed help. You see, Mary worked two jobs, sometimes three, if the beauty shop needed extra help. She was a lunchtime waitress at a local diner, and after her boys were down, she was a go-go dancer. Now, there was no nudity, but there were hot pants and short tops and go-go boots, and it was all that she could do to make those ends meet when she only had her diploma and absolutely no support from her ex-husband. Now, they were members of my home congregation, influential men for the most part, who didn't want her at worship, and they definitely didn't want her sons at the school. She was a weed, and she needed to be pulled. At another congregation, there was an incident after a youth event. The youth had all gathered for a movie night, and whether it happened during or towards the end of that event, someone had gone off to the far men's room, blocked the sink drain, and kept the faucet running. Water filled the sink and then spilled out over the whole floor as it got wet, and then the water was starting to run underneath the door into the hallway. It was a mess. It took a long time to clean up. Now, at that youth event, at that movie night, there were two boys from the neighborhood. They weren't really members of the congregation, but they had been coming to youth events since a car wash they had had that summer. Now, they were at the Bible studies as well as the fun events. They had even been to worship a couple of times. But there were those in the congregation who thought that those two boys were the culprits. They had a bad reputation in the neighborhood. They had a bad reputation at school. And so that group wanted those boys kicked out. They were weeds and they needed to be pulled. The first time Paul came to worship, he drove his tractor because he couldn't start his truck. Strapped to that tractor was his wheelchair. Now, he must have made a really unusual sight as he was driving down the country roads to the church. When he came in for worship, he hadn't washed very well, and so he smelled a little bit, but he was gracious and participated. He liked the coffee, and he especially liked the goodies if they were available, but mostly he really liked the handicapped accessible men's room. Again, there were members of the congregation who looked at Paul with wrinkled noses and wanted him to be escorted out. He was awfully weedy and needed to be pulled. You see, in this morning's gospel, we have another parable of Jesus. This one we know of as the weeds in the wheat. So in the story from Jesus, we get another glimpse of the kingdom of heaven as we watch more seeds, more soil, more growing. Last week, we met an extravagant and exuberant sower. And so we continue to get to see God as Jesus sees God this week as well. This week tells us, Jesus tells us, that the kingdom of heaven is like someone who planted good seeds in their field and then rested that night. During the night, an enemy came and sowed weeds into the field right along with the wheat. When the plants begin to grow, some servants notice the weed. Now, the Greek word used for weeds is darnel, and it's a specific kind of weed that actually looks like a wheat plant until the kernel comes out. The wheat has wheat. The weed has a whole pile of weed seeds. Looks completely different. And so the servants, they see the weeds, and then they volunteer to go pull those weeds. The farmer, the planter, the sower tells them no. The sower doesn't want them to pull wheat when they're pulling weeds. Instead, the sower says, leave them be. The sower says, let them grow. And the root of that phrase is the Greek word apheta, which is from the word aphiemi, which we typically translate forgive. Let them grow. Forgive them. This is what the sower wants. And then the sower concludes by saying that everything will be sorted out at the end. Now, last week, I told you that when I read this parable, I usually identify with the weed-pulling servants. So often, for many of us, we see something that bothers us and we immediately want to pull the weeds. Now, to be honest, if it comes to actual weeds and really pulling them in the garden or the flowers, I'm not really into that. So I'm not really very good at that. But you can always sign me up for that figurative weed pulling when someone needs to be tossed out. You see, whether we're looking at the news or we're looking in our neighborhoods, there are always a lot of weeds being brought to our attention. And we just want to help. It's amazing then to hear Jesus tell us that the help we want to give has nothing to do with the help that God wants us to give. We won't pull weeds, and the sower asks, forgive. You see, it's not righteous weed pulling, but rather forgiveness that Jesus is asking us for. We want to be doers. We feel called to be doers. So why doesn't Jesus want us to be doers here? Why? Because God can make weed into wheat. God can do that. And forgiveness is the most powerful thing that we are asked to do for one another. Forgiveness brings hope. Forgiveness leaves go of past resentments. Forgiveness gives us a better chance at tomorrow. But forgiveness is also one of the most difficult things that we are asked to do to anyone or for anyone. And then there's another near impossible thing that Jesus asks of us in this parable. He asks us to be patient. God will take care of everything. We need not judge. We need not pull weeds. We get to live, so we are asked to allow those around us also to live. We're called to forgive them, to care for them, to care about them, to do as we can for them, which means all of them, which means all of us. You see, this parable is telling us that the kingdom of God works best when we let God do the heavy lifting. The kingdom of God works best when we forgive rather than pull weeds. The kingdom of God works best when God's love is the foundation, it's the walls, it's the work, it's the all of it for all of us and for all of God's people. A group in my home congregation wanted to pull the weed that was Mary the go-go dancer. But then a group of other mothers who were supported by the senior pastor ended all of those efforts, and I went to school with her younger son. A group wanted those neighborhood boys out. But a compromise was struck, and the pastor spoke to the youth group about what had happened and what some people were proposing. And the pastor asked that it just never happen again. And it didn't. There was a group who wanted to show Paul the door, but there was another group that lavished Paul with love and with help, with patience and assistance. And when I did Paul's funeral, I knew that God was placing his wheat into his barn. Forgiveness works. Patience works. They work because they're what God asks from all of us. Now, it's true that we do need to speak against sin and we need to name those things. But we need to name those sins and those things that imprison us, that keep us in the dark, that enslave us. And we need to do that in the spirit of God's love, not judgment. We need to do that in the spirit of God's forgiveness, offering our hands to help each other so that we might rise and try again for the kingdom of God. Amen. Please rise. And now let us celebrate our baptisms as we confess our faith together in the words we find in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Confident that God receives our joys and concern, let us offer our prayers for the church, for those in need, and all of creation. O God, you call your church to announce the gospel of reconciliation and truth both near and far. Guide your church as it seeks your wisdom and shares it, trusting your Spirit bearing witness among us. Lord, in your mercy, you brought forth all creation and called it good. Direct policymakers to protect lands and seas, bring rain to sun-parched fields, and protect areas impacted by natural disasters. Lord, in your mercy, you desire peace among nations and peoples. Guard our neighborhoods from hatred, watch over police officers and firefighters, and teach us to advocate for those who live in fear. Lord, in your mercy, you are gracious and merciful, comforting those who suffer any affliction. Sustain your people living with illness and provide shelter for all who are unhomed. Lord, in your mercy. God of all grace, there are so many people who need your healing presence. We pray for all who suffer illness and injury or with accident and disease. We also pray for these who are known to us, who need your wholeness and health. We pray for Sharon, Sharla, Kristen, Judith, Rhonda, Max, and Olivia. Lord, in your mercy. You name each of us as your children. Guide our hospitality ministry to welcome all, our education ministry to equip us for faithful living, and our social ministry to enact the gospel in our community. Lord, in your mercy. You send faithful people to proclaim freedom from bondage and to renew your church. Encourage us by the witness of the faithful departed, so that we live into that same hope. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray. In the name of the one who reconciled all creation to himself, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord grant us that we see what needs to be seen and do what needs to be done. May the Lord bless and protect you all. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you all with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I hope your week is filled with blessings as you go into the world with hope.
To make God's vision our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Possible joy unspeakable, faith unseen.